At best, the defence forces barely tolerate women, and at worst, the forces verbally, physically, sexually and psychologically abuse them. That's the core finding of a report by an independent review group. It also finds a consistent and embedded theme of some members of senior management abusing their positions of power. Many female officers told the review team that there was no point in making a complaint. Doing so would either be met by inaction or by victimisation. The review was set up following complaints made by the group known as Women of Honour. These were highlighted, you'll recall, in an RTE radio documentary. Now, earlier we heard some extracts from the report. They detailed allegations of sexual harassment, assault and rape. The inquiry also looks at the number of Defence Forces members who have died by suicide and recommends further study of these deaths. Here's another extract.
Interviewees described extreme examples of health and safety norms and the alleged consequences in terms of physical injury and negative impacts on mental illness. They alleged that in the case of some suicides, they were told that if they were not denoted as accidental deaths rather than suicides, there would be adverse consequences. The historic rate of suicides within the Defence Forces is a cause for concern. The last major study examining suicide in the Defence Forces was conducted in 2005. It found that 63, that's 8.5% of the 732 member deaths that occurred between 1970 and 2002 were suicides. The Defence Forces needs to investigate deaths by suicide from 2002 to date, in line with international best practice, and identify appropriate action plans to deal with the issue.
Our next extract focuses on allegations of physical abuse and assault, which the report says have led to life-changing damage and trauma.
The review has heard graphic descriptions of alleged physical assault. Women have described being subject to weekly punishment, particularly when on career development or promotional courses. They then go on to describe being subjected to weekly punishment from their male colleagues due to their gender in terms of physical and mental torture. Physical abuse and assault are by no means confined to one gender. Male-on-male abuse is alleged where an ordinary member of the Defence Forces can be demeaned, humiliated, or severely physically assaulted to the point of doing damage to the person's limbs. And although the alleged perpetrator is removed, that is not the end of the abuse for the victim. Retaliation can come in the form of another physical assault from a different person of senior rank. Graphic details of very severe alleged physical assaults have been presented to the review by participants. These have occurred over the last 40 years and continue to the present day. The interviewees point to significant alleged trauma and life-changing damage for those who have suffered. The following examples were given. The training, including violence, being kicked while exercising, being kicked in the stomach while doing sit-ups, being punched in the stomach while parading, being kicked in the groin, being targeted with sadistic violence for officers' perceived pleasure, and the danger of physical assault to male and female members in shower facilities.
Another section of the report looks at bullying. It includes terms such as mobbing, where a minor conflict escalates through group harassment, and beasting, where someone is forced to do very difficult physical exercises in order to punish them.
From analysis of the participants' contributions, coupled with the benchmarking survey, there is a discernible pattern of bullying, which can be generalised as follows. Mobbing, beasting, constant unwarranted or unfair criticism, repeated assignment of demeaning tasks, social exclusion and isolation, verbal abuse and insults, insulting, foul, violent and or sexualized language, being treated less favorably than colleagues in similar roles, humiliation, aggression, deceit and dishonesty, intimidation, minimizing of behavior or issues reported, shaming, assignment of impossible or pointless tasks, inconsistency around expectations and requirements, repeated unfair shifting of blame to the individual, facilitation of a culture that fosters a feeling of fear or uncertainty in the individual. Repeated denial of access to training courses in order to stymie career progression, and blocking of access to extra duties with extra pay.
We did ask for a spokesperson for the Defence Forces this morning, but none was available. Diane Byrne is a retired Army captain and member of the Women of Honour Group, and she joins us now on the line. Thanks for being with us again on Morning Ireland. I mean, you're more familiar than most with what has happened in the Defence Forces, but just listening to those extracts, were there elements of this report that shocked you?
Unfortunately, no. There was nothing shocking, but that doesn't take away the fact that it's not very upsetting, both for us, but knowing, like, there was always a hope, as much as we knew what had happened, but there's always a hope that maybe it's not as bad. But to hear so many more people come forward, you have to understand as well that we didn't engage with the IRG. We had already made it very clear that we did not feel that this was sufficient for what was needed. So the entire contents of this report came outside of the Women of Honour from other people. That's a lot of people.
I know, as you say there, that you would have preferred that a statutory inquiry was ordered before now, that was put in place day one. But now that the inquiry is to go ahead, how would you like it to be conducted?
Well, before we even get to that point, there needs to be a collaborative approach with victims. It has to have a victim-led approach to get a good understanding. We've seen far too many things done up to this point where the problem is going to keep happening again until there's the wider spectrum. But this needs to be a full public statutory inquiry because we need an all-encompassing investigation. If you look at the starkness of the findings in this report and you bear in mind how narrow the terms of reference going into this were, and that all of the information in this IRG report came from voluntary information provided by victims and not compelled information where we can get a detailed look at everything. There's so much more out there. There has to be.
You hope to meet the Taoiseach shortly. What will you be saying to him?
We'll be saying to him, now can we finally get down to work? We need to start discussing the terms of reference, what they're going to involve. There's still a number of questions that we have to ask around the recommendations that are in there. But our concentration at this point is the full public statutory inquiry.
Are there still people in the Defence Forces who are living their lives in fear?
Absolutely. I don't doubt that for a second. We have people come to us on a regular basis explaining the issues that they have, and they come to us for support, but they're still not ready to step outside and put their head above the parapet, in the sense that if they do try to defend themselves, they still have to suffer the consequences and the career damage. Because while we're talking about this now and conversations are opening up and the taboo is kind of settling around this, the fact of the matter is the protections are not there yet.
The thought occurs to me, I mean, listening again to those extracts this morning, and we played several in both hours, that if this was happening in any other workplace, the guards would be going in.
Absolutely. Well, you would hope. but yeah, absolutely. But the fact there's a sense of its own laws and its own investigating, it's such a closed entity that there's too much self-investigation, and that's why this needs to be brought out into the book. But because they have their own laws and their own legal system, it's been able to be isolated.
One of the other shocking facts here is that this isn't the first time we've heard this. I mean, it's more than 20 years now since now Senator Tom Clonan carried out a report into the Defence Forces and published his findings.
Absolutely. This is going on decades before Tom Clonan's report, after Tom Clonan's report. There just hasn't been that sense of an appetite for change. And the words may be there, the reports may be done. So many people have fought individually in an isolated and excluded manner to try and, in the initial stages, get justice for themselves. And then it took so many people doing this and the Women of Honour coming together and so much more for this to finally come out into the light.
Has this entire process, has it been very difficult for you?
Oh, absolutely. It's if you're putting yourself out there in the first place is very, very hard. You question, you doubt yourself. Through my own experience, the suffering of your mental health, and you know that sense of shame that you feel, whether you had done anything wrong or not, it didn't matter. You were different. You were excluded. You were invisible. That in itself is very, very difficult. But then when you can't live with that and you say, no, enough, I don't deserve this, to have that compounded and to be victimised so in such a public sense within a barracks and trying to defend that. And then you don't realise, this is the key part to this, you don't realise that the person next to you might be suffering the same. So you suffer in silence or you try to go to people who can help you. But then there's, as I said, there's a sense of shame and embarrassment. So you kind of hide from it. But then to fight for yourself and not get justice, and then to come forward out into the media, to put yourself out there to try and do it, has been a very difficult process.
And is there support there now for people who do come forward and want to tell their stories?
I know there's been suggestions. I know there's raise of concern. People have had the opportunity to go to the IRG. We've met with various politicians at this point. How deep is that support? No, not really. I don't believe so. We have a lot of people come to us because they don't have anywhere else to turn. I think the real support at this point is coming from so many people having spoken out, people connecting with others that they know have spoken out, not necessarily through the media, but through the IRG. So there's a community developing there that where before we all kind of held that on our shoulders individually, now people are realising that it is okay to speak to each other, and you don't feel so embarrassed or ashamed now.
Is there any reason, though, why a young person, especially a young woman, should join the Defence Forces now?
Not now, until improvements are made, but there is a sense of pride and love for the country and for the organisation. And we do believe that can change. There is a chance now to bring in some real, real change so that the men and women of this country, the younger people coming up, will get that sense of pride and they will have a safe organisation with which to work, because it is a wonderful place in a lot of ways, and what it stands for is fantastic, but it's just such toxic culture in there at this stage that once that is changed, really changed, absolutely I would encourage people to go in. And that's why we're there as victims, wanting to engage with the Defence Forces and wanting to engage with the Department of Defence, so that we can educate them to help put the real solutions in place. But the only way we can do that is if we get this full, all-encompassing public statutory inquiry, because we firmly believe that even our experiences isn't enough to inform the solutions. There's still so much more that has to be understood in terms of what the problems are.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. That was retired Army Captain Diane Byrne. It's